See, the whole purpose of yoga is to achieve a psychosexual union between Shakta and Shiva. Shiva is the third member of the Trinity of Hinduism, the destroyer, the death angel, if you will, linked with Shakti, who is his female consort.
What is going on? You can't turn on a television these days without seeing something about the New Age, something about someone communicating with the dead. There's a Harry Potter. I mean, it is, it's sort of like what was whispered in the closet is now wide open. What is, Bob Larson, you are a world-renowned expert, if not the world-renowned expert in the occult, in the New Age, in deliverance. What is going on? Why is it all of a sudden all over the place?
Well, it's nothing new, of course. It's as old as the Torah. It's as old as humanity, this idea that we can connect with something which is out there. But what you've got is the result of scientific and rational thought having overtaken the Western world, but not producing anything that meets the spiritual hunger. So people are still asking the question, is there anything beyond this life? Do we survive after death? And into this vacuum, psychics, spiritists, trance channelers have stepped to say, yes, and I will put you in touch with those beings.
Many Hollywood movie stars are involved
Absolutely.
In these things.
Absolutely.
There's something called Kabbalah. But what is actually going on when someone says, well, I talk to people all the time who says, my husband died, my father died, and it's so good, they're still with me, they communicate with me. What's wrong with that?
Well, they always have some unfinished business. That's the whole
right.
idea. These are beings that haven't totally passed to the other side because they have something to share with us here. In biblical terminology, if we look at the Old and the New Testament, it's consistent. There is an absolute impenetrable gulf between the living and the dead. We are here and they are wherever they are going to go. There is no communication between the two. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen.
Wait a second, these people are hearing something. They're not making it up. It's not imaginary.
Absolutely. What they are hearing are the voices of demons, of discarnate entities, spirit beings who rebelled with Lucifer,
how do these people know these intimate things at seances? They might say something that no one knew.
Because Satan's been around for thousands of years. He knows what happened. The demons were there. They saw it. So they can tell you about it. Well, it's no problem. They knew Uncle Fred before he died. Uncle Fred was probably full of the devil.
All right. Well, how do you explain the doctrine of reincarnation then, that you come back until you get it right?
Well, once again, spirit beings know what's happened in the past, and so they are able to implant thoughts and memories of previous existences in people's minds of events. You know, what's interesting to me, said I'll tell you, everybody was always the king or queen of something. Nobody was ever a bag lady in an old life. Nobody was ever homeless in an old life.
But it was always good. But Bob, people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to psychics to communicate with
because
the dead.
Because they're desperate. They're desperate. They're filling a spiritual hunger that the church and the religious community should be filling by speaking existentially of the reality of what exists in the spirit world after we're not here anymore. But because you don't hear preaching about heaven and hell anymore, the psychics have stepped in and says, well, we'll tell you what's after death.
You know what I find interesting? That is totally 100% kosher on mm-hmm. secular television.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let someone be talking about the blood of Jesus, about forgiveness of sin, about sin, and don't want them to say that. It's why is it so acceptable? Why does the public, listen, in Hollywood, they don't supply movies because they're evil. They supply movies of what the public wants.
Because
they want to make money.
The answer's simple. Because in spiritualism and talking to the dead, there's never a moral frame of reference. There's no sin, there's no judgment, there is no ethical accountability. Because everybody's okay on the other side. You don't hear any of these psychics communicating with somebody who's in hell, screaming out in torment, and no matter how they lived, everybody gets to go to a good place.
Okay, what's the spiritual repercussion for someone being going to a seance, trying to communicate with the dead, even using a Ouija board to get a message from the spirit world? What's the repercussion? What harm is there?
Because you are not talking to something which is human, passed to the other side, because you are talking to a demonic spirit being. By virtue of your connection and communication with it, you give it the right to come into you.
What about if this thing doesn't say anything evil? What about this thing you're communicating with is maybe helping your spirituality? Isn't that okay?
Oh, they do a lot of good. Like, I mean, they find lost people. They
right.
discover dead bodies. And
I mean, just watch Larry King. You have these psychics
absolutely.
On all the time.
Well, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan will on occasion transform himself into an angel of light. So he looks good. But the real test is whether or not something is biblical, whether it's supportable from a faith foundation, not whether or not it feels good or looks good.
Can someone open themselves up to a demon to actually come inside of them from dabbling in these areas,
yes.
even if they don't know the bad things?
Yes, absolutely. Look, the classic movie The Exorcist was indeed the story of a child who did just that with a Ouija board. And I cannot tell you how many hundreds of case studies I have of people with Ouija boards or other forms of divination who have tried to communicate with the spirit world, who they themselves got those spirits, and then they need exorcism and deliverance.
I've even heard of people going to movies needing exorcism as a result of what they've seen in the movies.
Well, a spirit of fear can enter into somebody at a slasher movie. If you want to go see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, be prepared. You may come home with something that you didn't have when you went there.
Listen, Bob Larson is talking about movies like Star Wars, talking about Zen Buddhism, talking about things that are kind of, you know, they're just kind of in Kabbalah. He's saying all these things are doors to the demonic. I don't know about you. Well, I don't want any door to the demonic. Do you believe what he's saying? He's going to tell you some real life experiences. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, YouTube Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
I'm here with Bob Larson, foremost world expert in deliverance cults and occult groups. And Bob, we're featuring your new book. It's a wonderful book. As a matter of fact, you have so many different cults and occult groups mm-hmm. mentioned, so that if someone says something and you feel like, well, there just might be something wrong with it, you look it up in the book. It's written in such a simplistic fashion. You find out its roots, its origins, why it's wrong, and what to do about it. I think that every believer in the Messiah needs this book. And if you're not a believer in the Messiah, you doubly need this book. What kind of results are you getting from people reading this?
Absolutely fascinating. People's reaction they often give me is just, I can't believe this. We had a woman who came to one of our conferences, and she was a massage therapist. And a very sweet Christian girl. She said, I looked at this book. I think I'm doing something wrong. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, the person who taught me these therapies did hot stone therapy. I said, well, you know, a nice hot rock to relax with is not a bad mm-hmm. idea. Well, she said, there's more to it than that. They told me to lay these stones at the locations of the seven chakras, and in doing so, I would spiritually enlighten the people. She said, according to your book, I've done something wrong. And I said, well, let's pray about it. I said, just renounce what you've done. And when she began to speak the words, they would not come out of her mouth. And she had to go through a full-blown exorcism to get free from that. She was innocent. She didn't know what she was doing.
The blind leading the blind.
The blind leading the blind. But ignorance is no excuse of spiritual law.
So you're touching something. What about a massage therapist that says, I have healing hands, and when I give you the massage, I think good thoughts, and you're, is there anything wrong with that?
Let me tell you another story. I had some people come to me with a child paralyzed from birth in a wheelchair. And I begin to delve into this, and I said, well, you know, the only way the devil gets that child, if this is of the devil and not simply an organic disease, is through the parents. So let's talk to you about the entries of your life. And I begin to work with the mother, and she actually manifested demons right on the spot. I said, how did you get this child? And it said, the aunt. I said, the aunt? What's the aunt got to do with it? And the spirit said, Reiki. So I talked to this woman. I said, you have a sister? Yeah, she's a massage Reiki practitioner. Mm-hmm. And what had happened is one time she'd left the aunt to babysit the child, and this aunt did this energy distribution, mm-hmm. passing the hands over the baby, and actually put spirits into the little baby, which were spirits of infirmity that had paralyzed this child.
What about something as innocuous as yoga, especially the exercises, which they lower blood pressure, they relax people, they limber them up. What's wrong with that?
Yoga is a Sanskrit word that means yoked with or in union with God.
Well, for every Christian, Messianic Jew, should want to be yoked with and in union with
God. The catch is the definition of God. And it's the God of ultimate unitary consciousness of the enlightenment, the Brahman, if you will, of Hinduism. And all the classic yoga texts teach this. In fact, the classic yoga texts warn you cannot separate yoga from Hinduism. You cannot do it. They tell you this outright, and they become very angry when Americans try to do this because they say it can't be done, and I believe them.
Okay, someone doesn't forget Hindu, Shmindu. All they want is exercise. It's good exercise, Bob.
I do
what's
good exercise, Sid. I have
what's
a,
wrong with, no, forget what you do.
No. I have a stretching routine every single day, and some of what I do can resemble certain yoga positions, but I'm not practicing the worldview and all of the accoutrements of it. I'm not putting myself into body postures and calling them after names of Hindu gods and goddesses and various animals. I'm simply stretching my muscles. The difference is that in the process of yoga, you don't do one or two stretching positions. You do a whole routine, all of which is designed just like a radio to tune you into the spirit world and to awaken these chakras, which I believe are some kind of loci in the body of spirituality, and the devil knows that.
Tell me about some people that have been involved in yoga that you had to pray that evil spirits leave.
I've had so many I can't begin to tell you who just went for, like, hatha yoga. They just went for the physical yoga. And they picked this stuff up along the way. And I remember one particular woman, all I did was just take a Bible and run it up her spine. And in doing so, called forth seven demons which were in the spine. I remember another man. A very prominent businessman came to me, and he'd been involved in this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, take your Bible and put it right there in the seventh chakra. And he was just sitting there calmly. When I put the Bible there and said, I come against the psychic third eye, the seventh chakra, this guy just went berserk. He said, oh my God, what's that? And I said, this is what you got doing yoga. And it becomes localized. See, the whole purpose of yoga is to achieve a psychosexual union between Shakta and Shiva. Shiva is the third member of the Trinity of Hinduism, the destroyer, the death angel, if you will, linked with Shakti, who is his female consort. And the two of them come together. And this is the whole purpose for yoga. It is. There's a whole field called tantric yoga, which is designed to create demonic sexual arousal.
Listen, you're stirring a lot of things up right now.
Good.
I want to find out about Zen Buddhism. I want to find out about the movie Star Wars. We'll be right back after this word.
We now now return to It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth here with Bob Larson. Bob is the world's foremost leader in understanding. You've probably seen him on Oprah or on Larry King or any of the other popular shows, but one of the most foremost spokesmen on behalf of deliverance, cults, occults. As a matter of fact, I have your brand new book called Larson's Book of World Religions. Why did you write this?
Well, first of all, to get people an understanding of the place that Judaism and Christianity plays in the larger picture of religion. So the book starts out. You can't understand what cults do until you understand the fountain of cults, which is Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Taoism, and the so-called great religions of the world. And then from there, I move into the basic concepts. You have to understand what words like meditation, enlightenment, reincarnation, these things that are bandied about, to give you a foundation. And then we move into hundreds of specific cults and show you this root structure manifested in all these belief systems.
I couldn't believe it. We were talking previous to this interview, and you said in England they asked for the number one religion. What was it?
Star Wars, or the Force, or Jedi. In fact, the same thing happened in New Zealand. They did a poll there, and they found out that I believe it was about 50% of the people put down as their religious preference Jedi Knights.
What's wrong with that? I know what's wrong, but in other words, what is wrong with Star Wars, all of these movies? I mean, it's almost a cult group that they collect everything. I mean, what? It's good versus evil.
Well,
give me a break.
It's not good versus evil. The Bible tells us in Romans to overcome evil with good. But what's the definition of good? In Star Wars and in occultism, such as Taoism, good is merely the flip side of evil. Much of this stuff comes out of the teaching that good and evil are harmonizing opposites that must live in equilibrium. The Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We are to eradicate evil, not figure out how to live with it. So in Star Wars, the power that's used by Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader is the same power. It just depends on who's using it. It's all in the mind. It's not in the mind. It's in the moral prerequisites set down by God. Not you don't choose what's good and evil. God tells you in the Bible what's good and evil.
What is wrong with someone sending their children to the Star Wars movies? Let's take their most recent movie. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I'll give you a good illustration. My wife went into a Christian bookstore the other day. And it's really one of these high-tech, upscale Christian bookstores, and they got this big flat-panel TV there, and they're constantly showing DVD. They're showing Star Wars. My wife went ballistic. I guess little me's rubbed off on her. She went to the counter, the clerk, and said, "Why are you showing Star Wars? Don't you know what?" Clueless, absolutely clueless. Here's the danger. The kids sitting there watching that are going to lose the power of spiritual discernment. And then when they're faced later with something like Silva Mind Control or whatever, they're not going to be discerning enough to know this is dangerous, because gradually their spiritual sensitivity has been eroded over time.
Okay, producer, director of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. What's his agenda?
Well, George Lucas is an avowed Buddhist. He was a disciple of Joseph Campbell, the man who wrote so much about mythology and who is the founder, the philosophical founder of the New Age movement in America. He brought Joseph Campbell out to his ranch, sat down with him, and had Campbell school him in Buddhism. And so he deliberately projected this into the storyline of the film. You see it over and over and over again.
Does he have an agenda?
He has an absolute agenda. And his agenda, look, he has made statements such as this. There's no difference between the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the myths of pagan gods coming down and having sex with human women to produce offspring. It's all the same. And that's blasphemy. This guy is truly out to lunch.
Okay, switch gears. In Los Angeles, mm-hmm. there's a professional basketball team.
Yes.
And the coach, who's
yes.
one of the most famous coaches
Absolutely.
Of all times, is involved in Zen.
Very much so.
And it's kind of an in thing to be involved with. What's wrong with Zen?
Well, I mean, Phil Jackson's got issues in his own life he's not willing to resolve. And what Zen is for him and millions of people is a mindless, escapist way of avoiding dealing with your issues and the issues of a fallen, suffering world. It is a form of detachment. Now, what it does in a sports world, it allows people to become so detached from everything that they can find a calm center and perform better. And from that standpoint, it looks good.
From that standpoint,
it looks good. But there's a spiritual price because you're adopting a worldview that causes you to also become detached from any moral realities that you might be a sinful creature in need of a holy God.
Have you prayed for people that have been involved in something like Zen just to relax, etc., to lower their blood pressure, that needed deliverance?
Oh, many, many times. And here's what happens. Most meditative disciplines like Zen teach you that the mind is the enemy of the spirit. So to release the spirit, you have to still shut down or, as they say, kill the mind. But in killing the mind, what you do is that you become completely vulnerable. There are no spiritual defenses. In other words, the resistance against evil is a choice of the soul.
So you're opening yourself up to the demonic.
What you do is you put the choice in neutral. It's not operational anymore. And so any inherent, by God's grace, defenses against demonic forces are just not there. They're shut down.
Have you been involved in deliverance with people that have been involved in things such as Zen?
Yes. Yes, I have. Many people. I can't think of a specific instance, but I've done a lot of exorcisms on people in Zen and various forms of meditation.
White witchcraft. Mm-hmm. We know that witchcraft is evil. White witches use their power for good. What's wrong with that?
Well, the Bible teaches, and you talked about it earlier, Deuteronomy 18, that all that comes from the devil is evil. It only masquerades to appear to be good. But in all of these cases, the definition of good and evil is not contingent upon an external revelatory source. It's all what you decide is good and evil. So it's the witch who decides if he or she is doing good or evil. And I remember a classic story one time. I was on Larry King debating a witch, and the witch kept saying, well, I only do white magic. And I just kept pushing. And then he starts telling this story about, you know, getting ticked off with a taxi driver on the way over to the studio and putting a spell on him that he'd be in an accident. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I thought you only did good magic. He said, well, that was for the benefit of that guy to wake him up. All right. I think history has shown us that Hitler thought he was doing the world a service. He thought he was doing a good thing. Megalomaniacs operate from an internal moral compass that's corrupted, and witchcraft knows that. And so you can say what you're doing is good for the benefit of the world, but it might be a horrible evil. What you define as a witch, as white, for your benefit might be to somebody else's detriment. That's why the Bible teaches us we leave all judgments in the hands of God and seek only to obey Him.
Okay, in your book, you research so many different religions, cults and occults. One that was, to you, one of the most amazing in the entire book, and there's hundreds of them.
The forms of Satanism that tap back into ancient Egyptian black magic and believe they have the power to recreate Satan in our age. This is very diabolical stuff. And it's extremely dangerous and more pervasive than people would realize. The actual Luciferianism.
But why is this flooding society at this moment more than ever before in history?
Because A, the church is playing games. It is not directly willing to confront this stuff. I had a church recently that said they were going to go into a new church growth campaign, their slogan would be, we serve Starbucks inside.
Tell you what, I don't know about you, but I believe we are so close to the return of Messiah. This world is about ready to destruct. And I don't want anything separating me from God. But how am I going to know truth? Jesus said, "My word is truth." You may say that your kingdom is within, but in a kingdom, you need a king. Who is your king? Who is your king? If it's not Jesus, it's that other one, the dark side. Read the book, Deuteronomy 18, lists all the things that Bob Larson is talking about. In the days of Moses, people would have been stoned to death. You know what happens today? Spiritual adultery, separation from God forever. And as the song goes, forever is a long time. I have walked with Jesus as a Jewish man for over 30 years. And I tell you, the peace that I have inside of me, the purpose, the destiny. Have you ever had the song go off inside of you? There must be something more. There is. Intimacy with God. No other name but Jesus gets you to God. That's God's way. Try it. You'll like it.